Hey, Oasis Church Chicago, Pastor JP here. Hey, we're so glad that you're joining with us on our podcast today. I pray today that this message stirs your faith, that it builds you up, that it draws you closer to the Father's heart, and ultimately that you just feel the embrace of heaven. We would love to stay connected with you and you to stay connected with us. So please feel free to check us out on our website, oasischurchchicago.com, or download our app, Oasis Church Chicago. Also, you can be sure to join with us on our live stream on our YouTube page every Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now here's today's message.
Oh, man. You guys can sit down. It's the weirdest thing ever. The honor is ours to be here. And Rachel texted my wife and I this morning. She found a picture when I spoke here for the first time in 2017. As a missionary, I would come in occasionally and speak. And it reminded me how faithful God is to just bring about his plan. I remember we came here in 2017. I just remember thinking, I love this church. It would be so cool to be a part of this church one day. And God worked it out and we're here. And it has been a string of miracles. Seriously. I mean, it's a miracle. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, there are things, and I hope as time goes on, we'll be able to share more of that. And I kind of want to wait a little bit because it's still happening, right? Like there's going to be a time where we can look back and have more perspective. Literally 2 months ago, I was still going to work in Mexico. We talk about this a lot, but even 2 months ago, and it seems like it's been longer than that, but it's really crazy how fast God has put things together, and we're just thrilled to be a part of the team here at Oasis. We love your pastors. JP and Rachel are incredible. Nick, all of them, the entire team. And more than that, you guys. Like, I love being a part of this church. We were at prayer a couple weeks ago, and for whatever reason, some of the older couples couldn't make it to prayer that week. And so we're at prayer, and my wife looked at me like, and she said, "You're the oldest person in the room." It was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that happened all of a sudden. But we love being a part of this church, like being with you guys and getting to know you. I truly believe that God is going to do something huge through this church in this city. There's so much happening right now with just in the city, you know, even what JP mentioned with the immigrants and having a chance to bless and help. And I loved all the bilingual announcement with our kids ministry. Necesitamos más de la raza aquí, right? Algunos entienden y si ustedes son los héroes de verdad, un día va a haber más, ¿sale? So blessed are those who have ears to hear, right? We're thrilled. We're thrilled for what God is going to do in this place and just to be a part of it. So today I want to share, this is my favorite parable. And as I was preparing for today, I just felt like that God keeps putting this on my heart. And so I just want to share, and we'll talk about it for a little bit. It's the parable of the talents, or in the NIV, it's bags of gold, but it basically was a measure of money. Okay, and so some of you guys have probably heard this. If you're new in church or you've not heard it, awesome, I'm going to read it. It's kind of a lot, so this is my ask of you. If you've not heard this or if you have heard it, try to listen to it as if it were like your first time, right? Just like fresh ears. I will do my best to read it well, okay? So this is Matthew 25, starting in 14. Jesus is teaching, and Jesus says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold," which in that day and age was a ton, a ridiculous amount, okay? "To another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went away on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Well done.'" This is the famous phrase that we always talk about in church, right? "'Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things.'" I love this right here. "'Come and share your master's happiness.'" Right? "Then the man with 2 bags of gold came. 'Master, you gave me 2. Right? I'm kind of jumping here. "See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, drum roll, violin music. Then the man who received one bag came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take this bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. Interesting verse. We're gonna talk about it a little more in a second. Whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Verse 30, last verse. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is terrifying, okay? I grew up in an evangelical tradition where there was like a lot of fear-based, interaction with God. Some of you guys, maybe the same thing. I asked Jesus to come into my heart like 500 times as a kid, right? every time, yeah. Every time, God forbid, we took a flight somewhere, which didn't happen much, but every time there was like the slightest turbulence come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, right? All of that, you guys know, right? And so verses like this, it's terrifying, gnashing of teeth. Like as a kid, you don't know what that means. It just sounds awful, right? And so I grew up with this, I feel like I've had this relationship with this parable that has kind of come full circle. And that's why it's my favorite, because I would grow up with this fear, like, man, I don't even know how to invest gold, right? Like, how am I supposed to get more? And you hear this weeping and gnashing of teeth. And until I got a little older, I understood that the gnashing of teeth, right, is like frustration, right? You're frustrated. And so married couples understand this, the frustration. I was gonna, never mind. So like, there are times, for example, in my house, the frustration a lot of times comes when I'm supposed to know that we had plans to do something that I forgot about, right? And so I could see my wife, that's gnashing of teeth. You check engine light comes on, gnashing of teeth, right? You get it. Just like when something, right? And so as I'm reading this, I see, and I feel like the Lord has really spoken to me about this over the years, that there are people, you can know who the master is and live your life in such a way that you're still frustrated. Right? It's a sign, and it's compared to happiness. So you've got guys who are like, hey, come be joyful, enjoy this. And then there's this other guy who's just outside frustrated, missing out, weeping and gnashing of teeth with basically his regret, frustration, right? And it's so convicting to me that you and I know who Jesus is. And I hope that you have a personal relationship with him, right? And we have this relationship with Jesus, but still can live our lives in a period of frustration, right? And so I say this lovingly, kind of like an older brother, since sometimes I'm the oldest person in the room, right? Today I'm not, but like the root of the frustration here was not recognizing the value of what God had given him, right? So the frustration comes from not recognizing the value of what God has given me. So it's so easy to look around and see someone and think, you know, well, if I had their life, I would do it too, right? If I had their money, I would give. That's the attitude of this guy who did nothing. He looked at what he had and said, it's not worth it. Right? This isn't worth it. They can give, they can serve, they can do. What I have isn't worth it. And that led to a life of frustration, right? So there's some traps. As we serve the Lord, as we try to get to know the Lord, there's some traps that the enemy will throw at us, and there are lies, and it's going to be up on the screen. And it's basically, I can't, or I don't have blank, right? Like I can't do it, or I don't have time, money, gifts. Like, and so if you find yourself thinking, I would love to do that, but I can't. I would love to give to the immigrant crisis here in the city, but we don't have the money. I would love to serve in the children's ministry, I want to serve in the children's ministry. But I can't, right? I'm not good with kids, whatever. And the excuses come. That's what the guy did with who had the one bag of gold. He looked at it and thought, I can't do anything with this. And he left it. And that was the guy who was rebuked. And so all of us here, some of you guys are married. Some of you want to be married. Some of you have a job. Some of you want a job. Some of you have kids. Some of you want kids. Some of you have parents. Some of you, you know, have aunts, uncles, but you have something, right? And I want us to get this. You have something. It's such a lie to look at our lives and say, I have nothing. Right now I'm struggling. We fall into this victim mode. Poor me. I don't have what they have. I wish I had more. And what you're doing there is you're missing out on what you do have. And so today I pray that we will get this. We have something. If you're married, even if you're having a rough time in your marriage, right? Like, and when we talk about marriage, it's easier for me to make jokes and, oh, well, whatever, you know, my wife and this or my husband, oh, one day maybe he'll grow up. And as you're making those jokes, right, there's this amazing dicho en español, en broma, la verdad se asoma, right? So like there's this awesome saying in Spanish, right? They say like, as you joke, the truth comes out, right? And so it's basically like behind every joke, there is actually truth, right? So be careful with how you're joking. But when you're doing that, you're belittling what you have in your hand, right? Some of us, you know, our kids, it's a constant struggle maybe. But God gave you those kids, right? And maybe the path hasn't been as smooth as you would have wanted. Maybe things have happened that you know, have been straight attack from the enemy. It's not from God, it was from the enemy. God is good. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the enemy, from the devil, right? Don't get it confused. So maybe something bad has happened and God wants to lead you through that, but we're too busy playing victim, looking at it, and we're not able to enter into the joy of our master. One of the things that everyone in this room has been given is a church. God has trusted you with a church, even if it's your first Sunday. We hope that you can call this place home. We hope you feel at home. We hope you feel loved. Because trust me, we've been praying for you, preparing for you. So everyone in this room has a church home. And so what are we doing with our church home, right? What are we doing with this? God has trusted us with this. He's trusted you with this. And so we can be praying, we can be giving, we can be serving, we can help. And if you want to do those things, you're not sure how to start or how to continue, come talk to one of the pastors. Go in the back at the end, there's going to be a connect bar. Go talk to whoever's back there. We would love to help you feel more involved. We all have this church. Also, I grew up in this, you know, like I said before, this evangelical culture. One of the things that was amazing about that culture was like these extravagant kind of like offerings that people would, there was this weird kind of amazing, awesome culture of giving big, right? And so I grew up with all of a sudden there'd be like this huge answer to prayer that somebody would drop this huge check in the offering and they'd be able to, you know, remodel the church or buy a piece of land or, you know, whatever. And my fear, as we see like Christianity progress, and as now guys our age are helping lead the church and we're gonna pass this on to our kids, my fear is that we're gonna lose this sense of extravagant giving. Like all of a sudden we're gonna lose like I remember growing up thinking, oh man, it'd be so crazy if one day we could like build a church or give the money, right, to build a church. Or I remember even hearing stories of people like, oh, we, you know, a multi-$1,000 offering came in and with that we're able to whatever, I don't know. There was just example after example, blessing missionaries and helping build churches overseas. And my prayer is that we never lose sight of the opportunity to be extravagantly generous with what God has given us. Because some of us, this is, you know, maybe this isn't you, right? But others, and you know who you are, God has blessed you with the ability to give, to make money and give, and it's something straight from God. What are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? Right? Others, you have gifts. Like some people might say, wow, I wish, you know, I feel like I could preach or I could teach, but I don't have the chance. And you're going back to, I can't or I don't have whatever, right? You can. Every service, we all gather in this room. And I promise you there are people here in this room right now that need to be encouraged. I promise you. That need a hug. That need you to walk up to them after service and just say, hey, you know, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Take them out for coffee, right? Take them to lunch. I don't know. Talk with them. Pray with them. Get their name. And throughout the week, send them a message. Do not let the enemy's lie of, oh, I would if I could, take over your mind. there's so much we can be doing, right? And this verse that I said I wanted to mention a little more, this verse 29, it said, "Whoever has will be given more," right? "And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken." So if you will allow me the liberty, I promise you I've studied this. I'm not just making this up. You could rewrite this verse and say it like this, right? You could say, if you study this out for what it's saying, "For whoever knows what he has, he will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever thinks he does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." So when you recognize what you have, when you say, "Oh man, okay, maybe it's a tough season." I'm not saying it's not, right? But when you say, "Okay, I have something, right? I have my son, my daughter. I have the place where I'm living. I'm stewarding." This is the word stewardship. I can steward something, right? And I can start stewarding it in such a way as to show God that I can be trusted with what he's trusted me with, right? Even if we've been blowing it, right? And so a lot of this also stems from the attitude of, "Oh, I deserve more," or "I'm thankful for what I have," right? So if I'm thinking I don't have much, but I should, you're gonna lose even what you have. But when you can recognize, "God, thank you so much. Father, thank you for these kids you've given me. Thank you for my marriage," or "Thank you for my job." You might hate your job, right? I get it. When you can get to the place of being able to say, "Lord, thank you that you've given me this, that we can make money, that I have something." And when you begin to get that in your heart and it starts to stir in your heart, God will begin to open more doors. That brings me to number two, and that is this: God multiplies. Right? We see it in this parable. He will multiply. And it's something we cannot even explain, right? There's no logical explanation. When you look around this room, God has multiplied. And this is part of the kingdom of God that is, we just sit in awe of this, right? I cannot sit down with a calculator and do the math and show you how this works. I remember when JP and Rachel started this church, and we talk about it sometimes, but they started this church with very little to no money, right? Little to none. And now, here we sit in this building, the chairs, speakers, instruments. They're gonna, these people at Hope are amazing, but they charge us rent, right? I mean, it's not like we don't be here for free, right? And so, there are things that we pay for that God has just provided. And now, I'm sure that there's zero fear that we're gonna be able to pay the rent next month. But I imagine in the first couple months of the church, there was this terror, right? What's gonna happen in a month, right? And so that's one small example in this. Even you guys sitting here, you are a result of God's blessing on this church. He does this. There's so many people in this room that have lived this, that have seen it firsthand, beginning to tithe, give your offering. "God, what have you given me? I have $100. That's all I have. I'm going to give you 10, and I'm going to start believing for something more." Right? "These kids, this is what I got. We're going to start praying every night before they go to bed. We're going to start taking steps, and we're going to believe for supernatural multiplication in our lives." As a church, we live this way. As a family, we live this way. We cannot make it without his blessing. And so there's this principle, and I'm going to be super honest and vulnerable here. I remember growing up, even as I was a young adult, looking around at other people who are blessed, right? And thinking, what do they know that I don't know, right? It's there's a cheat code, right, for blessing, and they knew it, and I wanted it in my life, right? And so I'm sure there's people that feel that way here, where you look and you're why do they always, every prayer they pray gets answered, right? And other people who, they just seem to you can see the hand of God on their lives. And I remember thinking, being super honest, it almost felt like God was like I was fighting with God himself to pry blessing out of his hands. You know what I mean? It's almost how do I get some, right? And when I got this revelation of God is not against me. He's not trying to limit you. He's not punishing you. He's not saying, "Oh, you're outside gnashing your teeth. Gotta go gnash those teeth," right? That's not what he wants for us. And when this begins to get inside of you, he wants you he wants you to thrive. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into your master's happiness. That's his desire for you. That's what he wants, right? And you can see, even if you grab your Bible, Genesis, right? garden, perfection. Revelation, garden, perfection. And everything in the middle is him trying to bring you from that to the, back to that, right? Like, so when we lost that perfection, everything in the middle is him bringing you back to perfection. It's what he wants for you. It's his desire for you, right? And so as we see that, as that started to click and make sense, like, okay, so I'm not fighting against God. So then it becomes, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How can I do more? What can I, again, like even reading this parable, you know, from a different perspective, thinking, but what if I fail? Like I wanna multiply, but I don't know how, I don't know what to do. And then I got this, right? And this really changed how I think. No one who tried failed. The only person who failed didn't do anything. No one who tried, no one who took that step failed. And so Romans 8:28 is this verse that we can just bank on. And it says that he works out all things for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Because here's the thing. We're not perfect and we're going to mess up, right? But as long as we're trying, right? As long as, and that's my the last thing I want to throw up here. Our Father delights in your attempt. But this is, again, this is a major thing that it truly transformed my walk with Christ. When I understood that he delighted in my attempt, instead of like, nope, you screwed up again. Nope. No, right? No. When he's saying, oh, good try. Come on. Good try. You're doing good. Try, you know, try again. Good try. And so this is how it really hit me as a father. As a father, you really start, I've really started to see God in a different light, right? I don't know. Those of you who are parents, you guys know that. And those of you who are not, one day you will be, and you're going to totally get this. Your kids will draw you the most hideous drawings, like nightmare fuel drawings, right? And they'll bring them to you super excited, like, "Look what I drew!" And you're going to take it and be like, "Oh, awesome!" Right? I had like a whole file folder of these nightmare fuel drawings. Those did not make it from Mexico, unfortunately. They were left behind. But what do you say to your kids, right? You don't say, "Oh gosh, like you are terrible at drawing." Yeah. You say like, "Oh, whoa, this is amazing. Wow. Can you do another?" And honestly, I started to see my relationship with God this way. It's like when I show up like, "God, look, I'm trying, man." And he's like, "Wow, all right," right? Yeah. But he's so proud of you. He's seriously so proud of you. So I actually asked my daughter to draw a picture. I wanted to illustrate, and honestly, it could not have gone better. I asked my youngest daughter to draw a picture of our family, okay? And I have that picture. Can we put it up on the screen? There it is, okay? Hold on. She's on the far left, right? And you can see that she put a lot more effort into herself. By the time she got to my wife on the far right, she was like, "Yeah, it doesn't matter," right? Her sister in middle has no hands, right? Can you see that? But when I got this picture, I was like, "Hey," I asked her, I said, "Can you do me a favor? Can you draw a picture of our family?" And she got so excited. Seriously, got so excited. "See, yeah, see, puppy." And she went and she got all her stuff. And she took forever to do this. I think that's why the quality is going down as you go to the right. Because she really did take a long time. And when she finished, she brought it to me and she was so excited. She was so excited to bring it to me. And I grabbed it and it was just like, she looked at me with a smile. I was like, "Oh, thank you. Thank you," right? I did not say, "Your sister has no hands," right? Now, listen, this is not gonna be hung in the Louvre, right? This is not. But one of the things I love about this is that two of her older siblings are like legit artists, right? My son and my oldest daughter are amazing at drawing. She did not say, "Why don't you ask one of them to do it?" She didn't say, like, "Why doesn't Kevin draw it? He's way better at drawing than me." She saw me ask her, and she knew before she even drew it that she could have done, you know, she knew that I was going to be happy with what she did. She knew that as long as she just went for it and she tried and she brought it to me and she put effort into it, she knew that I was going to give her a hug and say, you did awesome. You're the best. You know, she knew that was going to happen. So she was excited to do it. She didn't want the artists to do it. She wanted to do it because she knew she'd have this moment with me. And when I started thinking about our relationship with God like that, that's how it is. He's saying, hey, listen, can you do me a favor? Can you do me a favor? Can you just be supportive of your church? Can you give your tithe? Can you show up? Can you serve? Can you do what you have been gifted to do? And those of you who are married, he's saying, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you love your wife? Honor her? Honor her. Take care of her. Those of you who are wives, hey, do me a favor. Can you do me a favor? Do this for me, please. No, it's tough maybe right now, but can you honor him? Can you love him? Do it for me, right? And when we look at it like that, we can say, yes, yes. And now I can go out and I can do my best and I can try and I can go for it. And then he says, enter into the joy of your master, right? You've been faithful with what I've given you. Here's more. You've been faithful with what you can do. It might not seem like a lot. Do not fall into that trap of I don't have or I can't. Do not do it. You have something. And I truly believe he's calling every one of us with your something, whatever it is, at your job, your family. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you just put on their hearts, their minds, what that something is. I hope that you will have something pop into your head and you can think, I'm going to steward this better. I'm gonna try. It's for my dad, right? It's for God. It's not, whatever. I might not be that good at drawing, but if he asks me to do it, I'm gonna do it and I'm gonna bring it to him. And he's gonna give me a hug and he's gonna smile. And we're gonna laugh a little bit. And he's gonna say, you did good. You did good, right? And thank you for doing that, right? And I believe there's more. Olivia, could you help? I don't know where Olivia went. Yeah. I wanna wind down and just pray with you guys. My prayer is that no matter where you're at, like with this process or some of you, this might seem really new. And some of you, you've been in this world for a long time. Like you know the parable and you know the verses, you've heard this before. But you feel like God is revealing to you, yeah, there's more though, right? There's more. If we're living with frustration, it's a sign that we are belittling what he has given us. If there's frustration, it's because we're not. It's the opposite of grateful, right? You can't be frustrated while you're grateful. So for some of us today, it might just be like recalibrating that and saying, the car is driving me crazy, but thank God I have a car, right? And when we get that in our heads, I promise you something starts to lift. There's a frustration that starts to lift. You start to say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna take care of this car. I'm gonna take care of this car. I'm gonna believe for a better one in Jesus' name, but I'm gonna take care of this one while I have it. And I'm gonna be thankful for it. Right? And whatever that is for you, right? Whatever the car is for you, I'm going to be thankful for it. And I'm going to believe in Jesus' name that God is doing something new. He does multiply. It does happen. We have testimony, after story in this room of how God has provided, of how God has changed, of how God has restored, of how God has seen a need and met it, how he's done stuff that we can't even think, ask, or imagine, how he's done stuff that surprises us. There are story after story of that happening, and we believe in Jesus' name, he will do it for you. He will do it for me. He will do it for this church in Jesus' name. He's not against you. He's not fighting. There's no tension there. He's encouraging you, right? He's saying, come on, you got this. You got this. Just take a step. Do something. Take a step of faith. Walk out. You literally cannot fail. If you start to fail, he's just going to direct you. He's going to restore. I love in Isaiah, it says, you will hear a voice from behind you that says, this is the way, walk in it. But you gotta be walking. You have to be moving, right? And so some of you, if you feel like it's time to do something and you don't know what it is, specifically speaking about church here, you heard us mention in the announcements that builders, that is basically kind of what we call our members here. If you feel like you wanna be a part of this church a little bit more than what you are now, there's a process that we'd love for you to get more involved. We would love to talk to you about that, explain that to you. Back at the Connect Bar, you could come talk to any one of the pastors. If you're not sure, in a minute, we're gonna open up here for prayer. You can come forward, ask for prayer. Say, I wanna do something, I don't know what it is. I want to be guided. Let's ask God and believe that he will answer that. All right, can you guys go ahead and stand up? I wanna pray for you all before we close. Father, I thank you. Father, thank you for this church. Jesus, thank you for every single person here right now. every person's precious. Every person's called, is gifted. If you're here and you just feel like you've been forgotten, please hear this. You are here for a reason. You are loved. You are more loved than you will ever understand. You're more loved from him than you will ever understand. And he has a plan for your life. There is a plan, a supernatural plan for your good. Even with all the harm that has been done to you, there is a plan for good. And he wants to take you on this plan. He wants to lead you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for everyone who's struggling, everyone who's had a frustrating season, Lord, that we can just begin to say thank you and praise you and see what you've given us. Lord, thank you. Father, I just rebuke the spirit of comparison in Jesus' name. I pray that we will just look to you and look what we have and say, thank you, Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. Father, I pray that you'll teach me to use it. I pray you'll show us as a body, each one, how to use it, Lord, how to use what you've given us. Make us brave, Father, to step out in faith. Make us brave to say yes, to give, to take the step of faith, to start to serve, to open up our home, to take a risk. Father, lead us. Catch us when we fall. Move us forward, I pray, in Jesus' name. And if you're here and you feel like you're far from God, I would just encourage you in your own way, your own words right now, to say, Father, forgive me. Lord, I'm here. Forgive me. I give you my life. I give you who I am. I give you what I am. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.
Amen, amen. Can we thank Pastor Josh this morning for that word of faith? Thank you. In a moment, we'll dismiss, but reminder too that they'll be out there on the patio. Step out there, see them. But we're going to have people up in the front, our team, our elders, our pastors. So if you're on that team, please come on up right now. You know, what Josh was just saying at the end, if that resonated with any of you, we believe in the power of agreement to just pray with you for it. And so if one of those resonate, if anything today resonated, we want to pray for you. We believe that God speaks to his kids. And I really feel like for some of you, you're just so needing a word from the Lord. We really believe today he wants to give you the word of the Lord. He's already given us all the word of the Lord, but I really feel there's some specific words for you to receive today. I want to say this too. Josh, what an encouragement. As he was preaching, I don't know if you even heard this. You know, Pentecostals, Charismatics, we all look for signs all the time. We're just like, what is that? That's funnier in my head than any of you are laughing. And the wind, the leaf blower was just blowing out there. Did you guys all hear that? Anybody with any sort of distraction mind, it's like, I was like, guys, someone go out there and tell that man to stop. And the Lord said, no. He's blowing out the old. He's blowing out the old. I'm telling you guys, I'm not the guy that's like, look at the sign, it's God. It's like, I'm the guy that knows the word, I trust the Lord. But I feel like that's so in my spirit. He's blowing out the old, and he wants to bring in new. So if you're here this morning, and you're just in that place where you're like, I want to step, I want to take that step, I want to go, I've tried, I've been disappointed. You know what? Flip it. God's super pleased with my attempts. He's happy with me trying. Come forth. Do not leave this place because we have people here that want to stand in agreement with you. He's doing great and mighty things. Amen? So, Father, thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We praise you. And we just ask today that you would just continue to speak over our lives. Thank you for your word. Help us to steward, God, what you've given us. We're entering into something new, and we believe that in Jesus' name. So we love you, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Come up for prayer. We'll see you guys next Sunday. Have a great rest of your week.